Now it is
So we're making progress.
right here.
Okay, so we are continuing on the Shai Yichlamaisa, and I think we're up on to page four. So here is the okay. So he starts out explaining that the Yisahara is intertwined into our nefesh, and he makes himself as if he's and the good advisor is really trying to hurt us. And does anybody remember which page? What page you finished last week?
This one.
Okay, let's start again from five. This is good. Okay. I did. I can't believe it.
I think you finished the second page.
I kept the third page. Okay, look, I forget it. I gave a few questions. I don't remember which one is after Mark.
I touched on the fifth part, the page five.
Okay. Maybe I just jumped over to show you what's going on. So let's go to page three and everybody's at. Chapter three again. This we're not. We are learning this in terms of we really want to figure out how to understand ourselves, our thought process, and then be able to understand ourselves. Perfect. When we have a good thought, a bad thought. A lot of times people get a good thought. They feel good about themselves, a bad thought. They think something's wrong with them. When in fact, there's actually two nefeshes going on. And each one is fighting to present their argument. And that's why the number 10 is so important, because when a person has to ask himself, if an urge comes to one's heart, he should ask the seichel. We're talking about seichel of the Torah, and then follow that, not follow the yetzer. Because his heart doesn't looking for you good. So then on chapter 3, he establishes that the deeds that are perfected by devoting them to Hashem alone, by performing them, the language here is a little complicated, but what he's saying is like this. When it comes to doing a mitzvah maisa, when it comes to a mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah with your limbs, meaning you're doing a mitzvah maisa, there it's possible to do it without the intent for Hashem. It's possible to do it for some other reason. However, the mitzvah of duties of the heart, meaning about avos Hashem, yiras Hashem, in that area, obviously, if you're having avos Hashem, there is no question that it's being done right. There's no the second chapter here. But for duties of the heart, there can be no hypocrisy, no expression of honor, respect, or praise on account of fulfilling them. Since other people cannot look into one's heart, therefore one's intent of fulfilling them is automatically only to the watcher, is the Eibush. This is another push to actually, for the sake of Chivas Halavavis, to dedicate your life to do mitzvahs which are Chivas Halavavis, mitzvahs like Avot Hashem, Betochen Hashem, Munen Hashem. These are mitzvahs which are duties of the heart, and that there's no problem. So we going to chapter 4. We already focused that we're really talking about mitzvahs that we are doing that other people can see. And there, we have to be careful not to allow in other thoughts that come from the Yetzer. Okay, so now in chapter 4, he typically, in Shai V'Tochen, he wrote about what damages V'Tochen at the end of the Shar. Here he brings right in the beginning. And you can see he's really analyzing a person very well. He says, what damages a person's ability to do things for Hashem alone? First of all, the ignorance of Hashem and his good. Not understanding. But like I shared with you, one of the students I was speaking a few weeks ago by a little event over there, and she actually had at the age of, I think, 17, 18, had questions fundamental questions about Hashem. And second one, like, is Hashem mitzvah and Torah? Like, how do we know Torah is true? How do we know? My questions are really, you know, going through the whole school system and not having at least a basis of being able to, that Hashem and his goodness and the ignorance of Hashem's mitzvahs is the first two things that actually you can't focus on labor. So what's the answer to that? One of the questions are easy to ask. What's the answer? So there's a sefer, just to introduce everybody to different svarim. There's a sefer called the Kuzari. I don't know if people have heard that. You heard that, I'm sure. So over there, he writes, it's also divided in a few maimonim. And the first one, he very methodically explains that Yidden are very different than any other nation in the world as far as it comes to the beliefs in Hashem and the Torah. Which way? Because unlike other religions, where everything starts out with one person, those people are powerful enough to impress on their country or the people around them their beliefs. By Yidden, that happened the other way around. By Yidden, Hashem took all the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. That means Yiddishkeit. Let me say like this: Yiddishkeit is a religion not just on a belief; it's on experience. All the Yidden were slaves in Mitzrayim, millions, and all the Yidden experienced leaving Mitzrayim. All the Yidden saw what happened to the Mitzrayim. All the Yidden experienced the nisim that they were doing for them, the Gris Yamsuf, and the feeding them in the Midbar. This wasn't something Eber was telling them. This is what they were living, being fed in the Midbar until Matan Torah. Matan Torah came in front of all Yidden. It wasn't that one person came and said he had a dream, he had a prophecy, and he shows a miracle, something that he's supernatural person, that he can do things, and that's how you impress them. The Yidden saw Hashem come down Har Sinai and tell them, Eden saw Hashem and give them all the mitzvahs. And the next day, all the Eden changed the way they lived. They changed their family life, they changed what they ate, they changed everything about them, changed. Meaning, whatever they saw was so real to them, that, because if you see something, it's real. So they accepted whatever they saw as real. And for the next 40 years, they're going through a life of the Eivishter revealing himself, the Mishkan, or the Nisim, versus any other religion. I just want, there's not a class on what the Kuzi is something you should read. And big up, but I'm just touching upon, if a person's ignorance of these basic things, then how could he take a dedicated life to Eibush? It has to be real to him. The Eibush has to be as real to the person as anything else he claims to be real. People say, be real. Well, if you have a money betachon, that is real. What do you mean, be real? This is the real reality, is the Eibush says is real. So the first thing you have to do is that you can't be ignorant of Hashem, his mitzvahs instead. What's a mitzvah? Somebody told me today. He was saying the name of a sister, I think. Whatever. That people will say that they have the religious experience, but they don't do mitzvahs. How can you have the Eibishter is the Chayin Sof, the Eibishter is infinite. How could a person even connect to the Eibishter? How can a person feel they have a relationship with the Eibishter?
It's called the Jewish.
Yeah, they're spiritual and therefore. And therefore, so that's their religion. But how did they? I'm asking. That's their religion. But the relationship need too. Why should the creator of the world care what they think or don't think?
They skip that part.
Okay, that's the point. That's the point. So that's why Eden are so attached to Har Sinai for these reasons. First, Har Sinai was real. Everybody saw. Everybody felt. Everybody lived it and experienced it before, during, and after. Okay. So then, so a mitzvah. Hashem says, I want you to believe. And I want you to not have an idol. So when you reject idols, you do Hashem's mitzvah. That's your connection with Eibishter. When you do Hashem's mitzvah, you're keeping honor your father and mother. If you look at honor your father and mother, it's a nice thing to do. So now you're not in the mood to do a nice thing. But if you honor your father and mother because that's what the Eibishter wants you, now you have a connection with Eibishter. Now you have a connection with Eibishter because Hashem told you something, you're listening to him. So that's solid. That is foolproof. These are one more point I want to bring up. This whole idea, if you don't see something, it's not real. And yeah, right here. It's actually, I made it like a, actually, there's so many examples that you can give to your children, to yourself, how in our advanced society, we don't see things, we know they're real. For example, electricity. Electricity, maybe you say you have even more, they have computers, but electricity in our generation, at least, nobody ever saw electricity. We see what electricity does. We don't see what electricity is. We see that you put two wires together and you put a bulb in between, you get a light. You put a motor, you get your things start turning. So you know it's there. So people will actually do things, or actually put the life in the line, go on an airplane and do things because they know electricity exists. Did you see it? No, I didn't. But it exists because I can see what it does. This is a good muscle for the Eibishter. We don't see Hashem, but we can't see Hashem because he's too big to see. Seeing means he's limited. Because he's so big, but I can see what he does. I can look at the world. Look at the world Hashem creates, and creates every moment and the details and the whole thing that people can't even fathom a part of it. Forget about the whole picture. That's your creator. That's your creator that wants you to do something. So that's when you put it that way, suddenly it's easy to do a mitzvah, even if you're not in the mood, even if you don't care if somebody's laughing from you, or you're not gonna do it because somebody's gonna give you a nice, because what you're focused on is doing what Eibishter wants. So that's what's mafsida yichda maisa. is ignorance of Hashem and that he's good. And we said before that he can find Hashem's goodness by learning Shabbat Kinder and looking at the world and seeing his creation. And seeing how in his creation everything is taken good. So everything Hashem does is good. And ignorance of mitzvahs and Taylor, that Hashem did us the biggest favor. Why he isn't so connected to Taylor? Because Taylor is our connection with Eivishter. Without Taylor, you can't have no connection. I don't care how spiritual you want to be. Because a person can never come up with something that will be important to his creator unless the creator told him it's important to him. Because we're finite people with small things. So what in the world can we can try to figure out another person what they would think is important because we're people and that people. But the creator is infinite. How are we gonna think if I do this, well Hashem likes that. Hashem likes it. And if I can't, how can you do something when the creator says to you, I don't like it, why are you doing it for? Oh Hashem, me and God, we have a relationship here. We got the relationship, we understand each other. It's funny. It's so serious, it'll be hilarious. But this is the ignorance of God's mitzvah and status. And the third one that destroys it, and this is our conversation, is here that Yetzer, the thoughts and suggestions of the Yetzer presents a man to endear to this world and distance him from the path of least to his good in the next world. That's the problem we're going to focus on, is the Yetzer, how he comes to a person and how he tries to distance the person from doing what's important to Hashem, important to Elam Habo, and to do things against it. Now, how does he do it? I'm going to jump over it because it gets kind of, I'm going to go straight to, I'm going to go back to the bottom of page 4. He says, one of the things about the thing it's a holy is Echel mehem achshoves mesapis, thoughts that which cast doubt on truths and confuse his emuna, so that they cannot do any religious act. There's a category where he throws doubt into the embassy of a person, so that he will not fulfill the mitzvah properly because he doesn't really have that amun anymore. He comes questions, and this is actually going to happen the next 10 things he does later. And the chelik hasheni comes after that. He comes to him that he starts saying to what he is running in English. Is on top of page 5. He comes in the way of arguments and proofs that his zeal and exertion in the service of Hashem is neither a duty nor meritorious, and advise him instead to work on this world for his inhabitants. So, like people make a joke, that's too yeshivish for me. I found a new line over here. I went to speak in the Shiras Dever, and somebody told me I shouldn't be too yeshivish. I don't know who it was. It's okay, man. I shouldn't be too yeshivish. What's wrong with being yeshivish? I'm not exactly sure.
What is yeshivish?
I have no idea. but they say you come with arguments, the zeal and execution, you're chill, be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. What you're saying is, I was listening to a podcast, and they were saying, and he was saying, whatever you do, always think to yourself, what did Hashem wants me to do now, right? So some things are very obvious. What does Hashem want you to do now? But then there's the other things, which you could go either way. You could say, well, Hashem wants me to eat this cookie because then I will have strength to go do a mitzvah, or Hashem doesn't want me to eat this cookie because the Shmartim is on the Shmartim. I mean, it's a silly example, but I'm saying, like,
I
think to try to figure out, I think what the answer to these questions will become very clear if we take it three more times. So we're going to go through the 9, if you look at it, starts actually page 8. Well, it goes through the 9, the 10, not because I stopped at page 10. It actually goes to page 16. It goes through the 9. Nine ways that Yitzhara goes from level to level to level to level in trying to get a person away from Hashem. It doesn't happen in 1 second. I think once you learn all this 9 different things, you'll see a certain pattern how he works, and you'll be able to fit anything that comes into your day. You'll be able to identify it. So trying to figure it out now. Generally speaking, it's a simple answer. If he's telling you something against Shulchan Aruch, it's a slam dunk.
It's the easy ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Sadly speaking, sometimes you look for heter. Okay, it's not. I know that it's okay. You're not supposed to do it, but I heard that there's certain rub in a different place, a different time set, so and so. So that's also part of Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to look at Shulchan Aruch and you're supposed to
and
how
Yeah. Not
make
a decision.
Not calling your rub. Every day. I mean, like, you look at
Pinchas, okay, but that's the guy. Who's this? Who?
Pinchas.
No, but he, but that's not true. There is a halacha that says that you see what he saw, if you're a kanoi, you kill him.
But wasn't
he was wondering if he should do it, somebody else should do it. But there's a halacha the Shekhanar is that if you see this and you're a kanoi, this is supposed to do. He wasn't a harahed. He didn't decide, I'm making a protest. I can't take it. I'm making him have ganah. Making Havgana. He was making Havgana.
He could have just as easily said, Moshe Rabbeinu is not doing it, so maybe I should be doing it.
So that's his godless. That's the...
But on the other hand, like...
Okay, so I'm hoping that after we go through this, and I actually had an insight. I actually one of the participants in the Bandarisha had we found a tremendous amount of clarity in her own life by understanding what he writes over here. So if we're going to take a little time and get to understand how this works and why it works, you can be able to answer all your questions yourself. That's the idea. So he says like this. So we did this. I'm okay. Anyways, we didn't do it yet. I saw it fit to clarify for you. So that's going to keep chapter 5. So he says like this. I saw it fit to clarify for you in this subject some examples which will teach even on things I do not mention in order. Okay. So as he's saying it to you. I will tell you general things. I have to mention all in order that people will watch out for them so that their hearts will be complete with Hashem. And obviously, it brings the pasuk in Mishlei, which is Yishma Chochom V'Yisif Lekach. Listen. Once you have it, you can now add to your understanding. And they said like this. Oh man, you should know that the great arch enemy you have in this world is your own Yetzirah. It essentially doesn't say Yetzirah, it says Yetzirah. It's interwoven the forces of your soul and intertwined in the order of your spirit. That means, which makes sense, right? Because the neshama, our Yiddish neshama that makes who we really are, comes into a physical body that has its own life force. So what's happening, Hashem is fusing two souls into one body. So what he's doing, like of Nishmas Chayim, that unlike any other creation, where the creation, when Hashem said there should be animals coming out of the earth or fish out of the water, the animals and the fish came out alive. Or they didn't come out bodies and Hashem put in the Shem in there. Unlike a person, the Hashem created a person off of Adama, and in that Hashem fused the Neshama with them. And we'll get to that soon. He associates with you in the guidance of your physical and spiritual senses. This he associates with you. He rules over the secrets of your soul and what is hidden, and he's your advisor in all of your movements, whether visible or invisible, which you wish to do. In other words, he knows you because he's part of you. He lies in wait, watching your steps that lead you astray. You're asleep to him, but he's awake to you. Very, very powerful words. He says, we don't take him into account on what we're doing. And that's what he really wants to do. Take him into account because he's not asleep. You're asleep to him. You look away from him, but he's not looking away from you. He masks himself as your friend and pretends to show he loves you. But he enters your inner circle of close friends and advisors. From his gestures and signs, it appears that he's running to do your will. But in fact, he's shooting the arrows at you to kill and uproot you from the land of the living. As the verse speaks, one like this, like a madman who throws 5 arrows in death. So he's a man who deceives his friend and says, am I not joking? So what's the take from this? The take from this is like this, very simple. In a day and age when we're being told that everything that's affecting us emotionally and mentally is coming from our experiences, here you have to stop and say, 1 second, is that true? Are we being affected? Are we acting because of what happened to us with Maisa? Or are we being affected because we have an inner advisor who's advising us the wrong way? After doing this, what would you think? Right? So what do you do? You see that people get affected. With half, of course, because the Yetzirah takes the situation the person is in, and he manipulates. He's your advisor. So that's why you go back to number 10. He says, when an emotion comes up, why is the emotion coming up? Because you are living through something. You are going through something. You had gone through something, and so your Yetzirah will wake up. Hey, you know that what you went through because you're so painful. He did this and she did that and whatever happened over there. That's a second name.
Oh, the interpretation of it.
Eye-opener. Okay. Now they opened your eyes. Let me explain myself. Why do you think trauma? How do you know this thing called trauma? Who told you this trauma? Let me try this. Live through what?
Have different traumas. No one has different traumas.
we went through different experiences. What? Why living in this dharma?
Because this association, between something that a person went through and something that's related to it.
Okay, so why? But trauma means that that's the reason why you're acting. We're acting, right? Okay. Now okay, yeah. So let me ask a question.
200 years ago, there was no such word as trauma.
Why 200? 50 years ago. 30 years ago. And this is how many nisyanos that I'm going to go through?
10 traumas.
10 traumas. How come Chum didn't call 10 traumas? How come 10 nisyanos? So what's being done is is definitely happening something. The question is, you have to label it so you can. There's a way of thinking of the Yetzer Hara, and there's a way of thinking of the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Tov will say, you're going through right now as a nisyan, and the nisyan. Who's giving you an assignment? The assignment is a test or a challenge, whichever interpretation you want. But an assignment is clearly coming from Hashem. Oh, so Hashem giving an assignment. So now for sure I have a connection because he's busy with me. As long as Hashem is busy with me, it's good, right? Why is he giving me an assignment? To beat me up? Or is there a purpose? No, this is a very important flow of you'll see. This is the way the Yetzer Tov is going to tell us going on. I married this guy, and I should have seen that this guy had this twitch and I didn't see it, and now I'm traumatized. But well, maybe that's a bit example to bring over here. But the point is, I had a father. I have a father, and a father made me build my sukkah. And every time he tells me a sukkah, I got traumatized, right? That type of thing. Because one time he screamed at me. But that could be taken two ways. Abraham Avinu was told, bow down to Beit Zerah, now I'm throwing you into the fire, right? Is that not trauma?
Sorry.
Amazing question. Yeah. Hashem comes to Abraham Avinu, tells him, take your only son.
Sorry,
and shecht him. How like that?
Right. When she heard, she
was listening. We're talking about Abraham Avinu right now. Okay. Why should we listen? Also, who came and who said and how it was said, but that's a different. That doesn't take away what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if you look at the sign, Hashem is giving you the sign, and the sign is definitely something that you'd rather not do. A sign is definitely very hard for you to do, and sign is painful, and the sign, but it has all the other ingredients. It has ingredients of being purposeful. It has the ingredients of when I pass it to Hashem, the Creator, where you're trying to get a connection with, is very happy with me. That's my and the sign is being conditioned to the world, and the sign is it's something I couldn't have lived any other way. My life could never have gone out without that sign, right? The Abraham Avinu never could become Abraham Avinu without passing 10 nisyanos. You agree?
But now, for such, you knew that they were nisyanos, not ancient.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the chassidut, I don't know. B'shas Maisa.
He was called
test one. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Test one.
That's one. They were giving a test.
He didn't know.
But it wasn't. It wasn't. But a trauma. How did the English come into the conversation? 1 second. We're talking about traumas now.
Yes. What's you know?
Because that's what people right away think. Maybe I shouldn't be
immune. If it's you know,
but we're talking about traumas now. But put the English on the side. We're confused ourselves. A trauma means that I want to be very clear about it, because this is mamish affecting a lot of people the wrong way.
You can listen on the phone. There's a whole share.
Yeah, a trauma. They came. By the way, they made that advertisement, not me. After they got it, I got a good laugh. But they picked up on it.
Perfect.
They picked up on it.
What's
that? Yeah, there's a hotline in the Borough Park. But I spoke to them about.
Sure.
They asked me, luck about the sinus, so they called the guy, and I never had the sinus in my life, so they called me, they asked me about the sinus. So and a middle life finance, let me say the way it is, because everybody today is like hypnotized with the word of the trauma. A trauma is mamish the opposite to east to west of Nasayan. A trauma thinking, a trauma says that something happened to you that was bad. It damaged you.
Disassociate,
and that damaged you. But if your life it didn't happen, you'd be better off. Somebody else did it, has nothing to do with Eivishta, had no purpose, and you're stuck anyways, because now you're damaged material. And the sign means if a person knows he's given the sign, that Hashem will never give you an sign unless he gives you a gift to overcome it. So if you, but that's the choice that goes back to number 10, I keep on saying. You have to be very myself, you have to ask yourself, what am I living through? Whether you're living through pain, so the sign doesn't mean the guy's not living through pain. The sign doesn't mean the guy's not having pain from it. The sign means it's hard and it's painful, but suddenly he realizes it's purposeful and he has the power to overcome it. And when he overcomes it, he's the richest person in the world because he's making Hashem happy. Isn't that a little different?
I mean,
very different. It's a different world. It's a different world. So that's where you'll get depressed. And it's hard, but you know that what you're doing. And the most important thing is people keep on thinking, oish, if only that didn't happen. And the guy, in the son, the person never says that because he knows his, if it happened, Hashem made it happen. And therefore, his life couldn't have been without that. It had to happen. So how much easier would you be if you knew that everything that happened to you in the past, it had to happen. You had to have this wonderful teacher. You had to have these wonderful parents. You had to live in this wonderful neighborhood. And that bully on the block had to be there also. How do you like? Everything, every detail you want to sit and chew over how my life would have been better without it and how to disconnect and not connect and blah, 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 blah. All these things had to happen. And it had to happen for a divine purpose. This isn't something the divine, the Abish himself wants it. You know, going to a place called prison, these type of thoughts kept me up. If I would have thought I'm going through a trauma, I wouldn't last a day. You couldn't last a day. How you last over there if it's a trauma? Trauma is not describing a bad event. If trauma is a part of a world that they told us, with a medical term, that this is a medical term, that this is what happens, as if they're explaining you the workings of a headache. Now they're talking about trauma. Let me tell you something. There's 30 years of this stuff, and I see people more traumatized than ever before. I don't see, people taking aspirin, they get the headaches go away. This whole thinking has not gotten people a lot healthier than before. So what's the answer? Double down and do more of this stuff. It's a mistake for Yidden. If a person took the word trauma and just a simple thing, take the word trauma, put it on a shelf, and use the word Nisoy. The exact same situation. Which is what I'm suggesting is exactly what he says over here on page 2. Whenever the eighth equation stirs an urge in one's heart, you take counsel of this and follow it. So how, what does Taylor say about this? Is this a trauma? That if I'm going to go to 10 traumas? Or
every sorrow is an assignment.
Every sorrow is an assignment, 100%.
Lord, sometimes Hashem sent an Einish to
probably solve the problem. But even the Einish, because how you can deal with the Einish? You can run away from
it.
It goes, yeah, exactly.
So, in other words, one doesn't have to know if it's an Einish or
an Assayan.
It's not.
Well, again, we spoke about last week. The Assayan is, are you going to see this as a wake up call to get closer to Hashem, or are you going to see an Einish and you're going to get down with yourself?
Call it a trauma.
And then you're good because now you can't help it. And now you're not. They use the word trauma to the point where they say you have no free choice anymore. I mean, this is, I can promise you, I never studied this stuff. I hear from people, so I know what's going on. A guy comes in and tells me he was abused as a kid and now he has no bechir anymore. That's it. No bechir. He's traumatized and no bechir. I say it's a mishugi in
coffee. They say trauma affects the brain.
Depends which brain you have. So because the Rambam says that the person always has a choice of doing trivia for theater. They're not taking it away. This is the point. They'll come up and they'll say something blatantly against what says in theater. Now you have a choice. Believe them, okay? You know how to read an MRI? Neither do I. Good. So we're not talking about MRIs here. Okay, but they say something that is against Taylor, they're lying, and Taylor's MS. That's clear. All right, look at that. And the Rambam says that Hilchos Teshuva, that a person should never say that he has no Bechira, because no matter, I don't care how he was born, he always has a power to overcome it. Like, so where do they come up with all these things? So everything they're teaching us, and everything is wrong with to say, but a lot of things they're teaching us are mamish blatantly against Taylor. So, first of all, why are we allowing them in our schools? That's, of course, first question. You want to allow somebody who wants to go to them, he has money to burn, go ahead. But why in our schools? How can you teach a kid?
Huh?
Yeah, of course. That's the problem.
The problem is that you have to make your own books.
Social work is not getting personal with people. I'm not talking people. People are wonderful, they're making a job, they have money, but
they have a problem. The question is, are they helping the people by Torah explanation? Or are they helping the people by all these other explanations that are against?
If a child goes through school, and his and her way of thinking doesn't take into account what we're learning right here, then they failed. They failed because
none of the social
So it's not a therapy. It's not the idea of what working things through. But if we have to say straight to the truth of the matter. So for example, a person is going struggling with something. So if he starts trying to understand, go to therapy, and the therapist tells him, you should know as a Jewish person, you have it's a baby, it's other. And you could be getting conflicting messages at different days because that's who you are. And so don't look at yourself down because suddenly you're like that. Understand how you work. That's what's good. But if he doesn't tell you that, if he tells you things that are against Hashem, then that's where the problem happens. That's what I want. Right?
A lot of
good. Baruch Hashem. But here, what we just read clearly, I've shared with you, there's a place called prison. You know, people don't understand. There's a place called prison. And I was there for over 8 years, and I can't imagine even such a place exists, by the way. I should tell you, it's a bizarre creation that people made, not a creation, but a place. And they gave me a sentence of 27 years, okay? That's trauma, you think, no? And then they gave, other people that I know, they gave a sentence of 3 years. Who should be more traumatized? 27 to 3. Okay? But it wasn't like that. Why? Because just as by choice, it's not the place that's making the pain. It's how they understand the pain. That's a whole different situation. It's not the circumstance. They want to put everything, why do they do that? You know why? Because a lot of this stuff comes from Freudian thinking. You know, Mr. Freud? Yeah. But Freud. Freud. Freud says that people come from monkeys. So all their experiences from monkeys were transferred to the people. And that's how they understand people, because people come from monkeys, from experiences. I'm not making up. A lot of the stuff comes. So here you have right away a difference. We believe that Hashem created us. And Hashem is an Hashem of Tehillah, and we're pure angelic people, and spiritual people at our core. We have somebody to deal with that. But we're not people. We don't come from monkeys. So our experiences, the reason they're so hung up on this business with their experiences is because they go back. Always, they come from thinking a person is like a monkey, and monkeys live from the experience. When a monkey sees a lion, they get scared. And that guy, Elta Zay, the monkey, saw a lion. And that's why all the grandchildren are scared now, because that monkey saw a lion. That's what came from. But I just think I'm making a joke. That's exactly what they're saying. It sounds funny, because that's what they're saying. There's trauma, and there's generational trauma, and intergenerational trauma you do know about. The only reason trauma keeps on going, because trauma is billable. You can build for it. As long as trauma is... I'm going to take it easy. I make a little fun. people get very upset. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Made it from it. Okay, guys. All I say is take what you learn from Taylor. Taylor talks, right? And take all these things you know and put Taylor in there. You got a kosher item. But if you're going to go back to Freud, when you're dealing with a child and you want to deal with them, to understand, this is what we just learned. We just learned that you have a yetzer that's intertwined and it's coming in and it makes a friend. And so it's the way you're thinking. Okay.
I used to remember, you think that the experience that somebody's going through something hard, the actual experience will be less painful through the lens of Torah, or looking back at it will come out of it more open.
No, less painful as he's going through it also. Yes. Yes, and talk to anybody, talk to. So that's why people look at, it bothers me a lot, because I saw them myself. I saw them as a young kid, maybe, but I saw them, and to a certain degree, you can't fool children. I think I was fooled at all. I saw a lot of war survivors. This way, that was the way from Hungary, I saw a lot. Because I live in Varapak, I'm from Poland, from Russia. My parents are from Russia. And they all went through their traumas, the war stories, okay? And they were healthy people. And they were healthy, and they talked about the pain they had, but they always saw what they're going through.
Somewhere.
Excuse me. War rings with ugly. Those people who saw it the way it's written in Taylor, and survived were very healthy people. And those who didn't, but that proves what I'm telling you. It depends how you understood the pain. If they understood it, that this is an assayin, and they have to stay in the, so they're rewarded. The ones that believe, the ones that came out healthy, and the ones that didn't believe fell apart. I'm not blaming anybody. But they want to say today that these people are today. Yeah.
What?
They want to say today that these people are today. That bothers me very much because I it's not my job to talk against that. I'm just using that as a mirror to show you.
You're saying even when they were going through it, they were more okay because they were able to see what they were going through. Like
yeah. I went through. I was freed 8.5 years, of this place called prison thing. Yeah, but it wasn't. I to a certain degree because I understood as an assayin, and again, just a personal experience. But I believe for everybody because I understood my matzav that I'm going through as it's prescribed in Torah. I chose to see it the way the seichel of Torah explained it to me. So I was really free when I was in there too. I wasn't only freed 8.5 years later. But yeah, I was behind bars and they handcuffed me and they degraded me and everything there. But at a certain degree, I was free because I chose to see I had bechira. I can see it the way my seichel is explaining to me. I can see it the way the eight is explaining to me. And you take a choice. I watch people like this, people like that. And interestingly enough, I mean, and I never saw it inside, never understood it. But Hashem did feed me. One of the guards asked, one of the guards described me to another guard. You know, because he didn't know who he described me as a Jew that was always happy. I can't understand what he was talking about because there was nothing from the outside they could say. I wasn't walking around with a smile all day. I promise you, I was not. I wasn't crying all day, but I was. It was a painful, serious place. But obviously, what I want to tell you about a neshama, when a person understands what he's going through is a hard nesayin, and Hashem wants him to show that he is able to be a yid even in this place. I got to do the best I could. Did I do everything? But I did the best I could. So then, there's a certain satisfaction, a certain happiness that a person has, inner, outer. When he knows that what he's doing is making Hashem happy. And that's the key. Tell your children, tell yourself that when you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem is happy with you. So you could be going through hard circumstances, but if you know you're making Hashem happy, it's a certain happiness you get. Any way you want it. And that's what I think the God was talking about. There's another story, this tattoo guy says, I didn't talk to anybody, but I respected everybody. Explain me that one. I shared a story last week. The guy was inside, and a Jew met him, and he says he sat with Rabashkin in prison, and he was himself, but separate, but he respected everybody. Now I'm hearing back. Now, which was it? If I was separate from everybody, praying.
You respected everyone? Yeah,
right.
Or the tattoo
guy.
That's what he remembered.
No.
They felt like
they
respected them. Even though he was separate from everybody,
he
still respected
them. How do you explain it?
The outer
film. There's an inner bias. Of course, when I met somebody.
You think it all has to do with you being happy? You probably to the guards. You say hello.
The
to
guards?
There
was a guard. This was.
But you
know,
say, in general.
Yeah.
Say good morning.
I don't judge anybody. I didn't judge anybody. If I saw a guy there to me, he was another person. I didn't listen to what he did, what he didn't do. And he's a person. I don't judge anybody, but when I'm speaking about things, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about ideas. If an idea is from Taylor, the idea is kosher. If an idea is not from Taylor, it's not kosher. I don't care who says it. And I hope I'm saying things that are from Taylor also. But this is a practical application, I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't have to be, the experiences are just, the experiences are what the Yetzer Hara capitalizes on. And that's what Avraham Avinu was born in Ur Kasdim. He was born between many, many very bad people, right? His experiences were hard. Now, Avraham Avinu, I don't know if people realize, he was born in the exact same time Noach lived, 58 years. Avraham Avinu was together with Noach in this world for 58 years. 58 years! He met him later. You know, he was in Eretz Yisrael before Lech Lecha. I don't know if you know this. Avraham Avinu went up to meet Noach. Yeah. Okay, now you learned. We'll go back to school. Okay, I'll be quiet. So
they met on purpose.
Yeah, he went. But he found Hashem. He found Hashem on his own, because this is actually in our DNA. We're able to use our seichel, we're able to think, and we have to find Hashem exists. Of course, we have a munna. That's the foundation of it. But we're able to find him. Avram found. Avram had to find Hashem on his own, because now he was going to be the first yid. Avram Avinu had to fight with the whole world because he's the first yid. Avram Avinu had to be go through a fiery thing with Nimrod because he was supposed to be the first yid. They showed that his connection with Hashem, his love for Hashem, was without any bounds. He couldn't be any other way. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a first yid. You know, he had to come from himself. So that's where, that's our, in our little lives, that's what's going on also. People feel, oh, if I would have born in a different place, I'd be better off. I had different parents, I had different teachers, I had this and that, the other. You know, I had my friend, yeah, because he had a better teacher. So why didn't they have that good teacher? Because why did Avraham have a teacher? For the same reason. Because obviously Hashem wants that person to show that he can be a yid even in those circumstances. Now, I'm saying, obviously, I didn't want to go to jail. And I didn't want to spend 10 years fighting with the nicest government. And I didn't want to lose everything I had that I worked so hard for. Well, of course not. But once I saw this Eibishter wants, and Hashem wants something of me, my job is to say, oh, yes, sir. Yes, for sure. Yeah, I got to do it. That's Emunah. Not to say, wow, my life was shattered, my life was lost, my life was taken away from me. Because if a person has Emunah, he doesn't say all those things. It's the exact same circumstance. Prison, the guy who felt that his life was stolen from him, the guy who believed that his life was he was a mistake, how he got caught, and whatever it is, he had 3-year sentence and he fell apart because he chose to understand what happened there in those terms. So of course, being in prison is very hard. But if you see Hashem was doing it, that's a whole different story. Now, you dive into Hashem to take you out. Okay, so we kept on talking about all the stuff and we didn't really make too much progress. Okay, we have 2 more minutes. And the bottom page 5, we're finished. He says, the strongest of weapons which you will fire at you, which war with you, in your innermost being, is to try to cast doubt on things you deem to be true. How many times do we go through this? We have certain basic truths. We know they're true. Amit amol, we have doubt. That doubt is coming from the Yetzer. And confuse what is clear to you and confuse your mind with false thoughts and erroneous arguments and to draw you away from what you is for your and to cause to doubt what is clear to you in your faith and your religion. That's how it works. So I said, finish on this. So if you will guard yourself on top of page 6, if you will guard yourself from him and have ready your weapons of your intellect to wage war with him, if you have, in other words, learn the answers to the question and deflect these arrows away from you, you'll be saved and will escape from him for the Hashem's help. But if you leave your matters to him, and you're drawn to after his will, he will not let up until he destroys you from both worlds. So the Yetzer Hara is an interesting thing. The Yetzer Hara is not out. The Yetzer Hara is not out to get you down on one fight. He has a job. He has a lifelong job. Hashem put together. Some people are serve like tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, gedolim. They don't have a Yetzer Hara. They serve Hashem, doing only good. And our job, because we have a Yetzer Hara, our job is to wage war with Yetzer Hara constantly. Why? Because every time Yetzer Hara tries to throw doubt, and we say the truth, we bring Kedusha in the place there was doubt in. And that's the purpose that we're doing. We are actually being a Muna into every dark corner. Every person's life has a certain space in the world. In that space, he is bringing light. And every battle is bringing light into that battle. So it's an important battle. The Yetzer Hara knows it. So even when you beat him, he doesn't say, okay, I'm lost, I'm going home. No, his job is to get you to another darkness. So you should beat him again. You should beat him again until Mashiach comes. Okay, Zagi Bench, everybody.
Well, we never did that.